Welcome to a Mount Pleasant CVB podcast. The Mount Pleasant Convention and Visitors Bureau welcomed in the Mount Pleasant Rotary Club. Talk about their big event they have coming up, the Help Prevent Suicide event on May 16th. Here's my conversation, Jennifer Marar and Kelly Rabb Butler.
Chris Bachman hanging out with Jennifer Marar and Kelly Rabb Butler on behalf of, you know, the Mount Pleasant CVB, CVB podcast, kind of a little Mid-Michigan Matters podcast. You guys are joining me to talk a little Rotary Club. And so, Jennifer, I'm just going to kind of open it up to you. And I hate to say for somebody who doesn't know what the Rotary Club is, but that's what I'm going to say. Tell them all about it.
The Rotary Club is an awesome service organization within Mount Pleasant. We're really lucky in Mount Pleasant to have a number of service organizations, but Kelly and I are members of the Rotary Club, and we provide opportunities for service with club members to serve in a number of capacities, and we have some special projects that we're working on, and this is what we're working on. Kelly and I have been working on since about October.
Yep, and we're going to talk about the Help Prevent Suicide event that's happening Thursday. What was it,
May 16th.
May 16th at the Veterans Memorial Library. And I'm going to kind of ask you a random question here. When you think about events in the Rotary Club in the past, something that you've done, what's one thing that sticks out to you?
Well, Chris, you and I have talked a lot at length about our auction that we hold every fall, and you've been awesome to help us with that. So that's a big fundraising event. We also do our beef dinner in around the February month. But you'll also see, if you follow our page on Facebook, you'll also see that we do things like work at the soup kitchen or work at Veterans Memorial Park, or we've helped out at the Habitat House, just a variety of projects. We love to find community events to get involved in and really provide service.
Kelly, when I ask you that, like an event or something that you've been involved in the past, what's something that kind of sticks out to you?
Yeah, we do so many different things. I'm fairly new to Rotary, but I've volunteered doing many things, and it's just a great group of people to work with.
Hey, remember when we drove around all night long delivering meals on wheels?
So you guys did it during the night?
Oh, yes, and it was dark and trying to find people's houses, and I don't think we've ever laughed so hard in my life. So Jennifer and I delivered meals on wheels. We've done the Strickler Center. We help at the food pantry. We just do a lot of different things, try to get other people involved. It's just a great group of people. We have a lot of fun, and we're able to do a lot of good for the community.
Scholarships,
yeah.
You know, I mean, something you guys do big and kind of something you guys probably haven't figured out this year. But, hey, for you kids graduating, coming around next year, you know, make sure you stay on top of that. Because, yeah, people don't realize with you guys and our other, you know, amenities or other nonprofits here in the area, how much money they give away to these kids that are doing good things in high school. And so the event that's coming up, Help Prevent Suicide event, we're talking on Thursday, you know, so it's next Thursday. It's at the Veterans Memorial Library in Mount Pleasant. Talk a little bit about how this event came about to start.
Sure. So our international, Rotary International President, Gordon McNally, made mental health a focus for Rotary this year. And so our motto this year is create hope in the world. And so as a club, we were challenged and wanted to meet the challenge of how do we touch mental health in our community. And so Kelly and I talked about it with a larger group of Rotarians, and what we decided we wanted to do was actually a three-prong plan. And so the first thing that we are doing and we're really excited about is we held a poster and or video contest with high school and middle school students. So we have several submissions from that, which will be announced next week at the event, the winners. But so we wanted to get students talking about that in a different way and being able to talk to one another. The second part of it was we wanted to make sure that we were giving information to people and dispelling some of the myths around suicide and, you know, talking to your friends or talking to your loved ones and understanding that suicide touches all aspects of our community. It's not just to one age group. It's not just to one socioeconomic class. It's everybody is impacted by it. And so we wanted to be able to get some information out to how do you handle that if somebody comes up to you? How do you handle that if you're having that conversation with somebody and they start talking about it? And how do you help them and what resources are available? So then the third part of our plan, which you will see on our Facebook page, sorry, not our Facebook page, our website, is that we will be hosting a spot on our website that will include not only the videos and posters, but we'll also host the resources that we have in our community. How do you contact somebody? If somebody can't make that call for themselves, how do you help make that call for them and get them the help that they need? So we just really want to make sure that we keep this information in the public so that they know. And people might not think, oh, I'm going to go to the Rotary website and find that information. But, you know, we're hoping that if people see it on the website, on the Facebook page as well, that will be a place that they think, okay, we can go there and get those resources.
You know, what I think is really cool is Rotary being involved in, you know, I got the B4 bracelet on. I was telling you guys, I was just talking with Terry Hesbrook about the B4 Foundation. I imagine exactly right along the lines of what you guys are doing. And, you know, he talked about we just need to remove that stigma. That stigma just needs to go away, and people need to know that it's okay to not be okay and talk about their issues and talk about their problems. I think Rotary International kind of doing this mental health great hope in the world is really going to help eliminate some of that stigma, because it's not just happening here. It's happening at the Rotary all over the world, and that's really the power of Rotary International. I'll kind of tie that together, isn't it?
Absolutely. It was really cool because a couple of weeks ago we had our district conference, and we had a contest within the district as well, and there were several of the clubs within our district who are also doing suicide prevention or mental health awareness projects, which that reach just continues to grow, and it's one of those positive ripples, right? Like you put that little piece out there, and then suddenly lots of people are really working to get the resources and get that conversation going.
I'm glad that you brought up stigma. As a mental health professional, we see an increase in youth that don't want to discuss it. They don't want to discuss it with their parents or their friends out of fear of being judged, you know, not being understood, those types of things.
I'm writing down there's so much more shame for teenagers because of social media and the way that people can interact now.
Absolutely.
And there are positives to it too, but you know, we're here to try and end the negative stuff on it. And so I go back to thinking, I was telling, you know, Terry this, it says, you know, when your son was starting on the football field, I was breaking into houses, you know, I was a bad idiot kid. And I can't imagine the way people would have talked about me if there had been social media back then. It probably really would have affected me negatively. All I had was the AIM messenger or whatever that I could get into. And so I was talking with friends. There wasn't anybody where anybody could post, wow, this kid's an idiot or something like that, which would have been true, you know, back in the day. But like I said, teenagers, you know, sometimes aren't equipped to deal with that stuff. And that's what this is about, too, is helping them get the tools to deal with this kind of stuff when those unfortunate things do happen.
Well, and recognizing that the crisis that we're in today isn't forever. When you're young in particular, or when you're really mired down by a lot of things going on, it can feel like there's no place, no way out. There's no direction. And I think a lot of people just don't know what that next step could be. And they do feel that shame around, you know, contacting somebody or expressing what that is. And you're right, the pressures today are so different. Awful. And how do you make connections with people for positive, as opposed to just utilizing those tools like social media in a way that it just creates that negative ripple effect. So
the other part of the presentation not only discusses that, but it's also for family, community members to look for signs and symptoms, right? So what are things we should be looking for that maybe are the bare minimum? Okay, maybe I haven't showered in 4 days, but normally I'm on top of my hygiene. So like looking at the little signs and symptoms that I think people kind of just overlook or they're not really paying attention to, because if we can catch those smaller symptoms before it becomes a greater issue where they've already contemplated suicide or they're self-harming, there's a lot of help out there, and we just want people to be aware of what they can look for, how they can seek help for individuals or themselves, and again, not have the shame or the stigma to be able to reach out for that support.
And the program, though it focuses on suicide prevention, is really about mental health in general. I mean, any of those things that Kelly just mentioned are signs about somebody struggling with their mental health, and how do we reach out and make those connections? Because connections, we all know, right? That's the difference. Those are the things that make the difference for people. And if I'm just not allowing that, or if I'm not having people reach out to me, it can get it can go down in a downward spiral pretty quickly. And so the tools aren't just available for people who are concerned about their friends or their family who might be contemplating suicide, but also who might just be struggling with a mental health issue in general.
Yeah, and that's one of those that, you know, there's certain signs you have to look for. And you know, sometimes maybe you hear from somebody you haven't heard from in a while or whatever. And sometimes you have to pry a little. You know, this is something I was talking about again the other day. So sometimes you have to pry a little bit, but you don't have to do that. You know, you can invite them over just to watch a TV show, to go get some dinner. You know, I mean, there's so many things to, like I said, it's so much about companionship. And once you're there and you just start talking about stuff, they're so much more likely to open up. So it makes sense if I kind of say that.
Sure, absolutely. And I think once you can just, they need support, right? The world struggles. A lot of people don't have those supports, or they turn back to the social media, which isn't always a positive support. And I think when we can show support, like you said, hey, let's meet for coffee. Hey, let's grab some lunch, you know, just checking in with people. Hey, you know, I haven't heard from you in a while. You know, how you doing? How's your family? You know, just needing to feel supported and validating in what they're going through, I think, is bigger than anything.
And you might not even know that somebody is struggling, but I think that that's, you know, think about how differently you feel when somebody just reaches out and says, hey, haven't talked to you in a while, just was thinking about you, right? That can change your whole day and when you're in a good place. But think about how differently you would receive that if you were struggling, right? And that can really be the difference for people, just those really small acts. I think the other thing people get really nervous about is, I don't know what to do to fix it. I don't know if somebody started to tell me something that was going on, I don't know, right? And that's one of the things, is just listening. And then if you have access to those resources, like being able to connect people when they're struggling.
Yeah, and again, so much about this is removing that stigma. You know, when you're talking to somebody and they've got an issue that might be too much for you to deal with, we need to let them know of, hey, I saw so-and-so therapist, you know what I mean? Right. I would recommend them to you too. You know, I feel like that's kind of an important thing too, is to not be afraid to recommend, to give more guidance as well. Is that, you know, am I on the right page there, I'll say?
Yeah,
I would say so. I mean, the initial step is making the referral, right? Once you can get somebody in the door and they can build that rapport with their therapist, counselor, whoever they're working with, things tend to become easier, right? They have more people to talk to. But I can say sometimes we get phone calls from people to say, hey, you know, my friend is talking about wanting to possibly end their life. I don't know what to do. So we help them and guide them with what resources and things that they can do to help that individual. And we don't even know who they are, right? So it's just really getting the resources out there. There's so many in this community. There's so many various places for people to get mental health treatment. And I just don't think people know where they are or who they are or what services they provide. And so one of the good resources that we'll have on our page is a list of all mental health providers here in the community. We've even added what insurances they take to make it easier for them, their phone number, their address, how they can call and make referrals. Because I think people just don't know, like Jennifer was saying, like, okay, where do we go? What do we do? You know, yeah, we have local community mental health, but, you know, they're limited in what insurances they take because of their funding, right? So I think just letting people know, as you said earlier, it's okay to ask for help and not feel that shame or guilt, whether I'm calling and asking help for my friend who's talking about this, or I'm calling for myself, or, you know, just trying to help them feel more comfortable in getting the help that they need.
When I talk with Annie Sanders from the United Way, we always mention 211 at the end, you know, so if there's somebody that's listening to this right now and you're struggling and you don't have anybody to call, there is a number you can call. It's 211, and they will contact you with the resources that you need, the resources that we have available in our community. And kind of the one thing I want to ask you guys about before we kind of get back into the event, I think another big thing that people don't realize, you know, if I wasn't on the radio for a week and went and sat at home and didn't talk to anybody, I'd be okay with that isolation. There are some people who are not okay with that, and it affects every single age group, whether it's a senior who has lost their companion and they're now alone, or whether it's a youngster whose parents are working all the time. They're kind of stuck at home alone. Can you talk a little bit about, you know, the isolation and how that can lead to mental health issues? Is that, and again, am I on the right page here? I'm going to keep asking.
I'll let you. You're the professional.
You're absolutely right. Some people appreciate isolation, right? Lives are busy, they're chaotic, and just to have that downtime by yourself, good. If that is not something you know about somebody and you're sitting at home on your couch for a week, that's where I think that phone call, like, hey, haven't heard from you, just checking in, you know, haven't seen you at work, or, you know, just making sure you're all right. Do you need anything, you know? And again, it's not to fix it, because sometimes we listen to respond instead of listen to hear. And they sometimes just need somebody to listen. They don't need you to fix it. It might just be, you know, I'm just really struggling. You know, I had a breakup and not really sure what to do. But they don't need you to fix it. And I think as humans, our nature is to jump in and fix. So sometimes when people isolate, they just need that downtime. Some people are isolating and really struggling, and those are the folks that we really need to be paying attention to, because long-term isolation leads to a lot of things.
I want to get that tattooed on the inside of my arm. Listen to hear, not listen to respond, because I feel like that's a big thing. You know, as soon as people start talking, like I said, if I've got an answer, if I want to know more, I immediately want to jump in and ask. And sometimes I just need to shut my big mouth, and I need to sit there and listen to what people got to say. My boss, Bob's going to hear this and just absolutely love it, Jennifer.
Well, I think it just goes back to just saying, is there anything I can do to help you? Instead of drilling a million questions, is there anything I can do to help you? Nope, okay. If you change your mind, you know how to get a hold of me. You know, just showing that little bit of support without trying to fix it.
Yep, and I'm going to get cheesier, and one thing I would say is the best gift you can give yourself is giving a gift to somebody else. And so I think kindness just goes a long way in this world. And so, you know, maybe that friend, you know, you haven't heard from a week, if you're going to stop by, you know, bring them a Boston cooler from John's, or, you know what I mean, bring them something, a little token of appreciation to kind of shed a little light in their life. Is that, you know, am I on the right page again? I'm going to keep saying that.
Yeah, and it's really just about being present for people, right? Like, and being present is that really, that gift of listening. And it seems that it's a gift of time, and we don't always have a lot of time right now, and depending on how we order and our priorities in our lives. But that's really what people, that's what we all need, right? Is that validation to feel important to somebody, to feel cared about, and that gift of time, and just saying, I'm just going to listen. You tell me if you need me to do something differently, but I'm going to just listen to what you have to say. And so maybe what you just want to do is sit there and listen, and then maybe just say, well, how did that happen? Or how does that make you feel? Or what do you think you want to do about that, right? And so I think we do want to solve the problems, but it's also really uncomfortable for us to be in a position where we can't help or somebody's feeling pain, because that is just not how we function as a society. And so some of it is really just allowing yourself to understand you're going to be in some discomfort while that person is sharing with you what's going on with them. But I like to think about it like, how are you going to feel if something happens and you didn't reach out when you could have? And I think that's where I function from, is that I would much rather be uncomfortable in a situation and not know what to do or not be able to fix it. But at the, you know, on the other side of that, when that person is thriving and doing well again, because I did take that step, I did take those moments, that's way better than living with regret that you didn't do those things that you could have done.
I want to go back, because you mentioned the 211 resource. Another resource is 988. That's the mental health resource. Anybody who's struggling with mental health, suicidal thinking, they can just on their cell phone dial 988, and it'll go to a professional that can help them with what they're struggling with as well. So if they don't feel like calling the therapist's office, coming to an ER, they definitely can call the 988.
And then we have the amazing resource of Listening Ear here in the community as well, right? So there are a lot of places. And sometimes, though, for people who are struggling, making that call is impossible, right? They just cannot bring themselves to make that call. But maybe you just help them. Maybe you just say, let me help you. I'll dial the phone. And then we'll get you on your way, right? Like, maybe that's all it takes. Mm-hmm.
You know, and you guys talk about listening, and, you know, something I just wrote down, and, you know, sometimes we don't know the answers, but a lot of times, some of the time, just getting that stuff off their chest is going to be enough. So being there to listen, you might not even have to say anything either.
Exactly. I mean, think about how much better you feel about it, right?
Yeah.
You kind of air mm-hmm. your concerns yep. and just say, oh, I did just need to get that off yep. my chest. I did just need, you get it out of your head, the loop that's going around.
Yep. And so May 16th, Thursday, 6 p.m., Veterans Memorial Library in Mount Pleasant. If somebody kind of went walking in the door at 6 p.m., can you kind of talk about, you know, what they're going to see, what's going to be going on?
Yeah, so we have Julie.
Yep. Julie Simons is our presenter, and so basically they're going to come in, we'll have refreshments, we'll have some resources available. She'll start probably 6:15, we'll do an introduction of Julie, our presenter. She's going to have 30-45 minute presentation, questions, answers after, and then, you know, just we'll all be around, so if people have questions that they want to ask, or we'll all be available to assist them.
And make contacts with the resources in the community, because maybe you don't need it today, right? Like, mm-hmm. Let's hope that you don't have anybody who is really struggling, or you yourself aren't really struggling. But maybe in 3 months, 6 months, 2 years, hopefully that will have stuck with you and that you will know, hey, I know where to send somebody else to find the resources. So that's, we want this to have, you know, as a club, we kind of talked about this, and we really want this to have a lasting impact. And it's one of those projects where sometimes we can say, oh, we helped serve, you know, meals to 60 people today, or we helped clean up the park and look at how great it looks. This is not a project that we're going to be able to come back next year and say, you know, we helped save 100 lives. But that's okay. We don't need to measure everything. And I think Kelly and I, when we've talked about it, we're like, if we could just reach enough people to save one life, to just make a difference.
And that's what's so important about this. And I'm going to go back to B4 Foundation again. You know, Terry and I were talking about, you know, every time you see a kid wearing that B4 Foundation shirt, you know that they know a little bit of that story, and they're yeah. going to be that much less likely to, you know, to just, you know, struggle with that stuff and lead to the ultimate. Again, I don't even want to, you know, say this stuff, because suicide is such, like I said, but again, I need to not be afraid to say that word as part of it as well. Like I said, I'm living up to the stigma right there in that last 20 seconds with my bit, you know, fumbling or whatever. And I do got to give a shout out to Claire Doty, Chris Rowley. This is a CVB podcast. And so you talk about what they do for our community. They're, you know, kind of open up the door for you guys to be able to talk about this really important event.
And it's, you know, that's a great example of connections that we have in our community. And people can feel really alone and isolated. But if we really look around, we can see that, you know, that the folks at CVB said, oh, you're having this program, let us extend our podcast time to you. And we're super grateful and thankful for that. But those connections are exactly that, those relationships are exactly Dorothy Dean Mott. She is one of our Rotarians, and she works at the CVB as well. And it's, you know, at a brief time, I was thinking about and talking about this project. And I thought, what is it about Rotary? We don't see some of the symptoms. We don't see some of the struggles with our fellow Rotarians. Not that they don't happen. But I was thinking about, you know, there are things that happen in Rotary or in other service clubs, really, that help insulate us against some of the things that go on in society. And so I was thinking about that, and that involvement, and how those connections are really what are at the heart of just a solid and positive experience for a lot of us, in whether it be in this club or in another.
That's what I was going to bring up. You know, if you are somebody out there struggling with mental health, you know, those numbers, those resources are definitely available. But sometimes the best thing to do is, you know, we have to get out in some nature, but also join a group like the Rotary, you know, join a group like, you know, the Optimist Club of Mount Pleasant and all these great groups that we've got here in the area, because you start helping people with those mental health problems, it can probably solve a lot of your mental health problems as well. I guess it goes back to the greatest gift of all is giving a gift itself.
Absolutely. It's, I don't know. We have great relationships. We build friendships, right? We learn about new people. We get to spend time with people we wouldn't have ever had opportunity to otherwise. And
it's just a good network.
Yeah.
Well, I imagine when you guys walk out of a meeting, you know, talking about this, setting up something like this, you kind of walk out of there just kind of like, feel pretty good, you know, and that's all we're really looking for in the end. So, Jennifer, Kelly, thank you guys so much for joining me. Somebody wanted to join the Rotary Club. How do they go about doing so?
They can contact us on Facebook. They can contact a Rotarian in person. They can come to a meeting.
When are the meetings?
They are Monday at noon at Mountain Town Station. So typically, if you let us know you're coming, that'll be a little bit better. But our Rotary Facebook page is available, and you could contact us via our website as well. So we would connect you with somebody, warmly welcome you, show you what it's like to be a Rotarian at one of our meetings and some of the stuff that we do.
All right, Jennifer, Kelly, thank you guys so much for joining me. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much, Chris.
Another big thank you to Jennifer and Kelly for taking some time to chat with me, along with the Mount Pleasant Convention and Visitors Bureau for giving them the time to talk about such an important event and such an important topic. And thank you for joining us on another Mount Pleasant CVB podcast.